This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark, Wang Xiaoning and Roshan Kanison. It is 7.07 in the morning, Thursday the 5th of December, and the sky is a lovely mishmash of colours this morning because the sun's out. And so in about 15 minutes, we'll be talking about RERA and the proposed Tenancy Act here in Malaysia. But before that, let's take a look at how markets closed.
So in the US, stocks rose on trade optimism. The Dow Jones closed up about 0.5%. In fact, the S&P and NASDAQ closed up about 0.5 to 0.6% as well. And in Asia markets, this was before the US markets opened, of course. Asia ended the day yesterday, the Nikkei was down 1.1%. Shanghai was down 0.2%. The Hang Seng was down 1.3%. The Kospi was down 0.7%. And closer to home, Singapore was down 0.4%. And the KLCI, 0.1% down.
So for more on global markets this morning, we have on the line with us Vishnu Varathan, Head of Economics and Strategy, Oceania and Treasury Department at Mizuho Bank. Thank you for joining us, Vishnu. Now, President Donald Trump over in the US has said that he's in no hurry now to strike a deal with China, even citing that it could happen only next year. So that rattled markets. Does this change your economic outlook, though, for 2020?
Just like you pointed out, the sky did look prettier today. even right after those remarks, I think there's been some kind of a clarification from a Bloomberg report saying that inside sources are suggesting that his remarks were off the cuff. And actually, US and Chinese negotiators are actually moving closer to pinning down the amount of tariff rollback they can agree on. Regardless of that, if we take a step back from this noise of, she loves me, she loves me not, the reality is, I think we are approaching some of the red lines here. So for us, what is growing clearer is that for Beijing to agree to any deal, any interim deal, they need to have something to show numerically, some tariff rollback. They can't just give things. Whereas I think what the US was really hoping for, in particular President Trump, was to heighten the details, like things like IP details, so on and so forth, and not give any tariff rollback, because that would be a very weak hand for him going into the elections. So clearly there's a misalignment of his elections priorities and what Beijing would require. What this means is that even if we strike a deal now, I think next year we could see tensions continuing to be sporadically, sparking off sporadically if and when those are required for him to show that he has a strong hand. And we've already seen that in the EU.
And Vishnu, sorry to ask you questions regarding she loves me or she loves me not. But back on Trump, his administration now seems to be widening a tariff probe on Italy, Austria and Turkey. So why is he selecting those countries in particular, and should we be worried?
No, that's a good question. I mean, those countries were particularly targeted because they not unlike France, they also were going to target U.S. tech firms for digital taxes. And so it's a tit-for-tat kind of reaction. But the broader question, and I think the more worrying one, is that despite what we thought earlier about the possibility of, Trump making peace with EU, that may not be the case, which means that, the real pessimists out there, yours truly included, could worry about whether at some point the auto tariffs could be back on the table if Trump is suddenly unhappy with something. So that's the real worry, that global trade uncertainties go far beyond just US-China.
And Avisha, I think a recent report of yours said that the recent recovery in the Chinese manufacturing PMI doesn't really give us the full picture here, and that the trade war has deep cuts into China's exports. Could you tell us a bit more about that?
Well, I think, the first off thing is, we know one swallow a summer doesn't make. So one or two good data points doesn't mean that, everything is turning rosy. Far more worryingly is these data prints have come in after the interim truce. That's to say, U.S. held back on the mid-October tariffs they were supposed to impose. And we are running into the mid-December tariffs that may or may not come on depending on the outcomes. So in between, it's easy to foresee how some U.S. importers would front load a lot on these Chinese goods. And that could have easily lifted the PMIs from a very, very soft base, which is why we don't want to get carried away too quickly. And we really want to watch what is durable in terms of the underlying trade trends.
And meanwhile, which Asian currencies do you see as safe haven ones, and actually which might be volatile?
I think, in our case, Frustratingly for Japan and the BOJ, at least the initial reactions, which are fairly enduring, at least for a few weeks, is that the yen appears to be still a very good agent, is a very good safe haven, even though it's not one of the EM currencies per se. So in Asia, the yen is. Oddly enough, in ASEAN, the Thai baht is playing somewhat of a quasi-safe haven role, remaining strong even on trade tensions. But that could be due to some of its linkages, much stronger linkages to Japan than to China. Whereas the volatile ones are going to be the Korean won, which very quickly falls with the renminbi, and to a lesser degree, but still significant, would be Taiwan dollar, Sing dollar, followed by the rest of the ASEAN currencies.
Well, thank you so much, Vishnu. And that was Vishnu Varathan, Head of Economics and Strategy at Mizuho Bank. Now, you know, as Vishnu pointed out, you know, it is a lovely morning. And I think despite the kind of flip-flopping over the U.S.-China trade war, you know, at the end of the day, the sun still sets and the sun still rises. So, but taking a look also at some international headlines, despite the tensions over Chinese treatment of Uyghurs in Xinjiang, as well as U.S. moves to support Hong Kong, the U.S. and China are reportedly moving closer to a phase one deal. This is despite the fact that the U.S. House of Representatives passed a bill that would impose sanctions on Chinese officials over human rights abuses against Muslim minorities in Xinjiang. And that was passed by a vote of 407-1 in the House.
In October, the House also passed a bill called the Hong Kong Human Rights and Democracy Act, which allows the U.S. to impose sanctions against Chinese and Hong Kong officials responsible for human rights abuses in Hong Kong. Outstanding issues include how to guarantee China's purchases of U.S. agricultural goods and exactly which tariffs to roll back. This is in relation to the trade deal as it stands.
Yes, but Vishnu did point out that a tariff rollback right now would give Donald Trump kind of a weak hand going into the election. So maybe it's not very likely maybe that we'll be seeing an actual rollback before 2020.
Yeah, speaking of Vishnu, I like what he pointed out about the data point, right? That maybe we're overestimating the Chinese recovery in PMI because of the front loading that US importers may have done leading up to this December 15th possible rise in tariffs. So I think it's just something to keep in mind, I guess, when we look at data that, what was that? He said one data point doesn't make a pattern or something like that. Yeah, it's just something to keep in mind.
Well, I think for these trade talks, right, there's this clear separation. So you have the fact that I think that both countries definitely want to work out something before December 15. That's critical for them. And in the meantime, you do have all these political noises, be it Hong Kong or Uyghurs. So every time there's some news flow, markets get a little bit nervous, like what we saw in the last 3 days, because before last night, the US markets are actually corrected for 3 days in a row. So I think the thing to bear in mind is that we're going to get used to this volatility, and it's just going to continue in 2020 regardless.
Yeah, I think when we first saw the Hong Kong bill, there was some interesting analysis pointing out the fact that even though we look at these latest developments out of the U.S. House of Representatives and we expect some kind of repercussions on the trade deal, China does appear to understand the distinction between what President Trump is doing and what the U.S. House of Representatives is doing. So there does seem to be an acknowledgement of the difference between the president and his house. So that's an interesting development there,
yeah,
too.
Maybe they understand it, but the statements do come up from the foreign ministry, and you know that
we will
retaliate in return. But I guess that's again all just for show.
Yeah, I mean, they have to say something, right? But you know, I think honestly, both leaders are very pragmatic when it comes to trade.
Absolutely. Now, earlier this morning, we also did touch a little bit on the car market here in Malaysia. And the German, on a wider front also, the German Association of Automotive Industry highlighted yesterday that in 2019, the global car market shrank faster than it did during the financial crisis. Car makers sold 4 million fewer vehicles this year compared to last year, and the group warned that there may be further job losses in the next 12 months.
Yeah, last week, Volkswagen Volkswagen brand Audi and Daimler cut 20,000 roles in total. And then this is significant to the German economy, which is heavily dependent on automotive, right? It's the engine of the German economy and sometimes regarded as the engine of European growth. The car industry directly employs 830,000 people and supports a further 2 million in the wider economy there in Germany. So this is from the car makers group that also called on the German government to help by speeding up installations of charging points for electric cars and lowering the corporate tax rate. They're looking to the government for a little bit of help here.
Yeah, there's some pressure on the auto industry for sure. There's a weakening sales globally. We see soft spots definitely in what were hot car markets, particularly China and India. Added to that is the pressures of electrical vehicles, right? Because we know the capex requirements are extremely high, which probably pushed some of these new alliances that we have seen in the market. Now, Vishnu highlighted a new pressure point, which is the possibility that we might see some auto tariffs EU cars. So it's not going to be smooth sailing for the auto sector coming into 2020 for sure.
And, you know, when you look at the larger auto sector, I mean, European car makers aren't the only people who are suffering, right? We have in the US, GM, Ford, these are all companies. GM particularly has seen a lot of troubles lately. And if you go over to Asia, the fall of the alliance between Nissan, Renault and Fiat and Chrysler tried to do the new venture with Nissan, which also failed. All these car makers are struggling. And I think everyone's expecting for a big consolidation to happen, but we'll see how that goes.
Indeed, we will. But up next, we will be taking a look at stories from the local headlines, including the subject of RADAR and how it is working on the Residential Tenancy Act. So be sure to stay tuned for that conversation after these messages. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.